Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you with us on a Friday. TGIF here with Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland coming at you for the next little while here, getting you ready for a football weekend all across the landscape. High school, college, NFL. We got college hoops this weekend. We've got a good Thursday night football game to discuss today, and it certainly has implications on the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll cover it all. Max Power has your KFH hotline at 869-1240. We've got you on our video streams on X and YouTube today. Still working to get Facebook reconnected. 12 News Connected is another place you can watch us, which we appreciate. And, of course, you can listen to us as well on the Odyssey app. We have all kinds of good stuff coming for you today. We'll bring in the full cast of characters to make our football picks in the second hour. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Beers with the boys, girls' night out, or a glass of wine with a longtime friend. WBC, the place where groups gather for the holidays. East, West, or historic Delano, Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Jerome Tang said PJ Haggard is the best player in America. You agree?
Right now, I think it's totally reasonable to make that case. Yeah.
He is real good. Really good. Last night you watched that game. This was the reaction from the K-Witchers watching that game last night is that, man, Haggerty is good. And then he made another three. It's like, God, like he's like, how many points does he have tonight? And then you look, it's like, oh my gosh, he almost had 40 points. Like he is a legit scorer. He is so fun to watch. And I think K-State basketball might be kind of good. And I think that was what we needed to start the show with.
Yeah, we thought that, and then you know, and then you had the Tulsa game. But again, I caution people: we don't know anything about Tulsa, right? Like don't overthink that one. They won the game, right? Who knows what Tulsa is going to be this year, and who cares? They won. Mississippi State, we know, will be pretty good. At least we think that they will be. And yeah, in K-State, it's another game where they get close to 100. Like this will be one of the best offensive teams in the country. They have been that thus far this year. They're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, and they're led by a guy who was kind of the top fish in the transfer portal waters for a reason. Haggerty's he's a baller, man. He's got as much offensive skill as any college player in the country. Is he the, you know, the top NBA guy, Darren Peterson or DeBount? No, but it doesn't matter. This is college basketball they're playing. He's the NBA guy. But as all the attention is drawn to these this freshman class across college basketball because it's really, really good, don't sleep on a guy like PJ Haggerty, who's been doing this for a long time and has been really good at this for a long time. Yeah, he looks every bit of the part they brought him in for. He looks fantastic. I'm less, you know, that part of it, TJ, though, as K-State wins 98-77 last night, we kind of expected that, didn't we? Like, we expected Haggerty to be really good. Maybe not quite to this level, but I expected him to be an All-American candidate. Like, he came into K-State, and that's what we wanted. What's impressing me about the Cats is how well everybody else is kind of fitting in around him. As we're questioning their defense early in the year, coming back out and holding a pretty good offensive team in Mississippi State, at least they have been thus far this year, to 77 and beating them by 21, I'll take that all day long. And we're starting to see, like, all of these trends are, they're trends. They're not just flashes in the pan. Abdi Bashir's a great 3-point shooter. Kostic is starting to take a few more in the game. He had a couple good looks that didn't go last night. Castillo continues to be a weapon. And this is a team that you can see the pieces. I'm with you. I think this is a top, you know, this is a team that can compete for a Big 12 championship. I don't think that's out of line at all.
Yeah, it's a big deal that's the one thing I thought about this morning whenever I woke up, is the fact of, like, for as much flack as everybody gives the transfer portal, because every fan in the country gives transfer portal flack, like, if you have a team that's not good enough one year, you can immediately be good the next year. And it's starting to feel like K-State may have just gotten it right this summer, and they feel like they're a really good team. Again, it's November. We are really pumping up the Shockers and the Wildcats, so we'll see if that actually holds any weight whenever the actual games start.
Yeah, we're pumping them up because we're seeing things that we haven't in a couple of years. And you know, as far as transfer portal, before KU fans say, this is the problem. Why can't KU do that? They have. Hunter Dickinson was the, you know, the biggest piece in the portal. Remy Martin was the biggest piece in the portal. The year, 2 years ago, when they got the guy from Alabama, they got the two biggest pieces in the portal. The Wisconsin, I can't even think of their names now because they were such non-factors. Store and Griffin. Whoever. Yeah, those are the biggest pieces in the portal. So it just, they haven't been the right ones. And this appears to be, and we said it from the second we saw it, because we all know Haggerty well because of AAC basketball. The second it was K-State, it made all the sense in the world. It's like, man, that's a perfect fit for that, for his style and what he's going to want to do. He could not have found a better home than at K-State, because Jerome Tang will absolutely let him go shoot it 20 times a night and be perfectly fine with it.
Yep. Jacob, did you watch the game last night? Are you a Peacock subscriber?
I did. Yeah, I got the end of the first half and the end of the second half. Wow. I was flipping back and forth.
I figured that you weren't going to be a Peacock kind of guy.
No, we've got I don't remember why we've got Peacock, but we've got Peacock. Gotcha. Maybe did a trade with Nana, Paramount for Peacock, I think is what we did. So we've kind of got like dual access there.
There you go. Yeah, that's one of the perks of working in TV sports, is that you'll find a way to get the game. So I'll find a way to watch all the games. So I had that one on last night through my computer.
I like their broadcast, by the way.
Yeah, they did really good. So between that and Thursday Night Football.
Mostly the NBC thing. Thursday Night Football, which we'll get into on the other side here, it was a really entertaining game, I thought. You know, the Texans get it done. We all kind of liked that line, honestly. It seemed like too many points for the Bills. The Texans are really good. They're just not great offensively. But 23-19 winners over Buffalo last night, led by that defense. I mean, they made it a bad night for Josh Allen. They were on him like crazy. Mm-hmm.
Will Anderson is so good.
Well, look, this is a team the Chiefs still have to play. Right. But they had 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, 8 sacks in the game. I think it was maybe even more than that against Josh Allen. And the Bills line was a little depleted. I get it. But Houston's a team Kansas City still has to play. And we know what pass rushing can do to the Chiefs offense. They're good, man. I they got off to that rough start, and they still, last night, TJ, they only had 260 yards of offense. Like, their offense is not good.
No.
But they are collectively, through that defense, a really good team.
What's the deal with Stroud? Is he out for a while?
He probably will be back next week.
Yeah.
And Davis Mills has done a really good job. But we've seen Davis Mills for a long time. I think you hand it back to Stroud when the time comes. They've developed more of a running game behind the rookie Woody Marks. They've got some receivers back healthy finally. You know, that's kind of been a problem for them. But even then, like, yeah, they got their they still didn't do a whole lot offensively, but they don't need to. And I think they're comfortable living in that world. Buffalo is a juggernaut offense. Now, they're all kinds of banged up too. They're down a bunch of receivers. They're down a bunch of pass catchers. I get it. Their offensive line was kind of in shambles. But that's Buffalo coming in primetime and only scoring 12 points of offense, because remember, they had the kick return. Four field goals. It's all Buffalo was able to get against Houston.
Bills and Ravens are down this year. Good thing the Chiefs are taking advantage of it.
God. Also, that makes you want to revisit yesterday's Bills, Ravens, Chiefs versus the field conversation, doesn't it? We'll come back. We'll dig into that game a little bit. What does that mean for the Chiefs? Is that a good or a bad outcome for Kansas City? We'll discuss when we return.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk high school football on to sub-state, two wins to state championships. High school football coverage on Sports Daily brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. Welcome back in, Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. Of course, it is a Catch a Kansas Friday. TJ will get us all caught up on those state semifinals in just a little bit. Paul Savage should be in to help him do that. Coaching high school football still. I haven't heard that Brandon and Tommy won't be here yet, TJ. So hopefully we have the full cast of characters for some football picks. We will see as the time comes. Bills, Texans. The Texans take down Buffalo at home, 23-19. We all liked the Texans' side of that line yesterday with PJ Glasser. So it's not necessarily a surprise here. Buffalo is still trying to figure some things out. Buffalo is kind of like Kansas City and Baltimore this year, TJ. It's kind of a chip in a chair. Just got to get there and hope some of your pieces are back healthy and you trust the quarterbacks in the postseason. But right now, they're kind of in that mix. The AFC is a jumbled mess. I've been thinking a lot last night as I'm watching it, like what would have been the better outcome for the Chiefs? And honestly, that was probably the better outcome. It's really annoying that Kansas City right now loses tiebreakers to all the teams currently sitting ahead of them in the wild card that are in the wild card spots. The Chargers, Buffalo, Jacksonville. They can take care of that with the Chargers, but they can't with Buffalo or Jacksonville. So Buffalo losing is probably good because Houston, who is a half game ahead of Kansas City plays. So they can take care of that with Houston as well. And Houston's schedule is pretty tough down the stretch. They get Kansas City, obviously, two games against Indianapolis are mixed in there. The Cardinals, who are no slouch, is mixed in there. So they don't have an easy schedule either. So I do think this was probably better for the Chiefs, ultimately.
I don't know. I think I went the other way with my immediate thought that I think it's worse for the Chiefs because I think that, you know, obviously Buffalo's the six and the Texans are the eight. That just creates more of a logjam from the six to the eight.
But they play Houston, heads up. We know Kansas City can probably only lose one more anyway, right? It you know, so can't be that one, but that they at least control that. They control nothing against Buffalo. So if they're going to chase down Buffalo, they just need Buffalo to lose two more games, basically, down the stretch. And that's it. And that probably is a stretch, too, by the way. Buffalo's schedule of all these teams we talk about, Buffalo has the least resistance, I think. They do have a game against Philadelphia. But they go to Pittsburgh, and who knows if Aaron Rodgers is healthy. Who knows? Joe Burrow could come back for the Bengals, and they could be massively disruptive. It's not an easy path for the Bills, but you tell me, at Pittsburgh, home against Cincinnati, at the Patriots, at the Browns, home against the Eagles, home against the Jets. You think there's two losses in there?
Yes.
I think there can be. And if you think there can be, then them losing last night was a good thing.
The Bills?
Yeah,
that's Bill's the Bill schedule.
Them losing, yeah. If that's the case, then them losing last night is probably a good thing for Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing is the fact of, like, you're going to have another, like I don't know how to portray this the best way here. I get what you're saying, that they don't want to chase down Buffalo, but I feel like it's going to make it harder if the Texans and the Jaguars, even though the tiebreaker stuff goes into effect here, I think a loss last night from Houston would have at least let the Chiefs, they would have jumped them there, and then they're just chasing the Jaguars, which they don't have a tiebreaker over.
But they play Houston. So
yeah, but I mean, they're not worried about a tiebreaker.
I think you do worry about the tiebreaker. Look, I don't.
I'd rather not worry about it. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. If you don't have to worry about the tiebreaker, then you're not going to get the tiebreaker against Buffalo, right? So if they're going to pass Buffalo, they have to have a better record than Buffalo. So you need Buffalo to lose games. Houston, you can take care of that yourself. The strange thing is, like, Kansas City's got to basically win them all. Like, they can afford maybe one loss. And the funny thing is, we were talking about this yesterday on TV. The funny thing is, like, the Colts would be a game. If you had to lose one and you could cherry pick it, the Colts would probably be the one because it doesn't really impact you in any way. right? They got to go 6-1 either way. So if you're putting them at 6-1 to get there, then they've got to, in their chances to pass Houston, they control, right? They control their path against Houston. They don't have control against Buffalo. They don't have control against Jacksonville right now. And those are two teams they're chasing. So I think the best case scenario for Chiefs fans is to root for Buffalo and Jacksonville to lose as many games as they can, because that's out of control. You control Baltimore, but I think Baltimore is going to win the division. So here's Jacksonville's remaining schedule: at Arizona, at Tennessee, home against the Colts, home against the Jets, at Denver, at the Colts, home against Tennessee. So
there's losses in there.
There probably are. We need three of them. If you think the Chiefs are going to go 6-1, you'd need them to finish 4-3 over that stretch. And two of those games are against the Titans and one are against the Jets. So there's three of them that they're probably winning. That means they have to, you're asking a lot. Jacksonville has the better schedule of all these teams. You're asking a lot of the Jaguars. But I would tell you that, in my opinion, they're the least qualified of these teams we're talking about, too. So if the Titans are going to get one, you'd maybe think it was a Jacksonville game.
I'll ask you this.
Go ahead.
I'll ask you this hypothetical. If the Chiefs go 6-1, but one of their one losses is against the Texans or the Chargers, is that enough?
Big trouble. They'll be in big trouble.
That might not be enough if it's 6-1. Like,
it's hard for me. Sorry. It's hard for me to imagine that an 11-6 record isn't going to be enough. Just however it shakes out, but it could. But yeah, those are games you feel like you can't lose. You have to beat the Chargers. You have to beat the Texans, or it's going to be a real problem. The Chargers' remaining schedule, and the Chargers are getting banged up again here. They can't stay healthy, so they're going to come out of the bye, which they have this week. They get the Raiders at home, Philly at home. They go to Kansas City. They go to Dallas. They get Houston at home and go to Denver. They've probably got the most difficult schedule in this group.
Yeah, no crap.
So that, that probably with, and maybe they get a little healthier out of the bye, because I do think they're really good when they're healthy. They just haven't been for really any long stretch of this season. It's not going to be easy for any of these teams to get in, except maybe Baltimore, because Pittsburgh perhaps just lost Aaron Rodgers. But Cincinnati could have something to say about playing a huge spoiler for some of these teams if Joe Burrow's back. Joe Burrow could be back this weekend. He's practicing in full right now.
Yeah.
The AFC is just, it's a hot mess. Like, it's a lot of good teams. And depending on what you think of Denver, New England, and Indianapolis, it's no great teams. The NFC is not all that different. I think most people probably would qualify the Rams as one of the league's quote unquote great teams this year. Philadelphia is a great defense. They just haven't found it yet offensively, but I just kind of trust them at this point. As much as that makes me want to vomit, you just do a little bit. But then you go to the AFC, and two of the teams that I kind of like as teams to go on runs in the playoffs aren't even in the playoffs right now. Kansas City and Baltimore. They're not even in if the playoffs started today.
I know. This is going to be such an interesting experiment on how people view the NFL based on how this goes. Because, like, what if the Chiefs sneak in and then just lose that wild card round? Like, what if that happens to Buffalo? Like, what if they just don't get in the playoffs? Like, it's not just you, like the nation is in the same boat.
Not getting in the playoffs will be bad, right? Yeah. That would be bad. Getting in and losing a wild card game on the road, I mean, if that surprises you this year, based on what we've seen thus far, you're probably just, you probably,
okay. I'll change my hypothetical here. I'll say if Baltimore or Buffalo or Kansas City didn't make the playoffs, like, everybody, every talking head nationally is talking about, like, it's still going to be one of those three. Like I said, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. But, like, if that happens, it'll change a lot of how things are viewed, I think, going forward. I think that, like, and for good reason. As you said, you know, the three best quarterbacks in the AFC are the three best teams that everybody keeps talking about that they think can go make runs. And so,
yeah, look, it's just what's happened. It's because we've had such a long time with it.
Yeah.
And we've all watched football enough to know that you've got a better chance with an elite quarterback, because we've gone from the Brady era right into the Mahomes era, and those guys are there almost every year, which sounds absurd when you watch the NFL every week and you see how fickle and volatile it is. But for this millennium, basically for 25 years, it's what we've seen. How many, and I don't know this off the top of my head, I can probably pull this up. How many times in 25 years, let's pull this up, okay? How many times in 25 years do we think either Mahomes or, well, okay, so Brady's first year was 2003. Was it 99? When did they win their first one? When did he beat? There it is. Okay, since 2001. So yeah, we would be looking at 25 years. Okay, so 25 years. How many times do you think Brady or Mahomes has been in the Super Bowl over that 25-year stretch? One of them. We'll go year by year here. So your guess before we look at it.
12.
I'll say 14. Okay, so we have 2001. We have 2003, 2004, 2007, 2011, 2014, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2022, 23, 24, 14 times.
Wow.
14 times in 25 years, 14 of those years, more than half, we've seen one of those two guys in the Super Bowl. So how are we not equipped to sit here and say, yeah, you know, just, you got to just get them there. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy that we have that in this league where it seems like the crazy outcomes are every week. That in more than half of the Super Bowls played in this millennium, we've had one of those two guys in it. World, like, and everybody else has just been kind of floating around in it for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. This is such a weird social experiment of like,
it is.
What are people going to think if Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen missed the play and Lamar Jackson missed the playoffs? Like, because that'll just change the way, like, because that's what everybody's always said. And like, I don't know. In those 25 years, I'd be curious to see, like, if Tom Brady went to the Super Bowl and then missed the playoffs the next year. Had that ever happened? How many times did Tom Brady miss the playoffs?
Not very many. He had, of course, the year he got hurt, and then maybe one other. Max probably knows that off the top of his head. It was the year of injury, and then I believe maybe one other time. And that's it. And then you have the Mahomes thing of playing in consecutive AFC championship games, which is basically every year of his starting career, right? Which is maybe even as wild as what we were just talking about. Like, there just hasn't been room for anybody else consistently. The Eagles have been consistently good, but we're talking about a league right now where your top teams are quarterbacked by Bo Nix, Drake May, Daniel Jones, right? And then Jalen Hurts and Matt Stafford were used to. Caleb Williams, anybody? Right. Those are the teams. Those are the top three in each conference. It's just, Max says one time he missed playoffs in 2002, which was not the injury year. So one other time. Yeah. And they may have made the playoffs with Matt Cassel in the injury year. Did they make the playoffs that year, Max? I can't remember.
No, but they did go 11-6.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh, that doesn't make you feel good if you're a Chiefs fan. We're talking about 11-7 should be in. That's what makes this all so strange, is it's been the same at the end for so long. The fact that what we're used to seeing is not there is a little, and who knows, maybe in 5 years we're putting Philadelphia in the same conversation. I don't think so, but maybe. Baltimore, by the way, you want to talk about a really fascinating finish to a season. Baltimore right now at 5-5. Now, their 5-5 is very different than the Chiefs 5-5, right? They had an injury. They lost all their games while Lamar Jackson was hurt, and now they're winning all their games again. But they get two against Cincinnati, probably with Burrow back, and two against Pittsburgh. Who knows if Rodgers is healthy? But you want to talk about, like, if Rodgers is healthy, like, the division, it's theirs for the taking. Like, they can just go take it. Or they, because those are going to be pretty tough games. God, what if Burrow starts on November 27th on Thanksgiving Day?
God, are we ready for that conversation? The Bengals going to storm back into this
thing? No, I don't think. I think they're probably too far out. But what's the over-under on Bengals-Ravens right now? If those guys are healthy, 58? What are you taking? Which side of that are you taking?
Those defenses are bad. And are you ready? The thing I keep thinking about through all this stuff and through all the Chiefs discourse of the season is, man, I can't wait for it to be February, not even February, January and February, and people are talking about, what does this mean for Mahomes' legacy? What does this do for the Tom Brady argument? And then we're going to start getting real Jordan LeBron-y.
We already are, and part of those conversations are already happening. One of them that you talked to me about yesterday, we might as well get into on the other side. This is the beauty now of TJ being in here full time, and Tommy was good at this too, but he's a man of the younger people. The social media overreactions. I don't get a lot of that because I absolutely choose not to go find it. I have no interest in it. But it does interest me to know what's out there, I suppose. I know that doesn't make any sense, but like I don't have any interest in participating, I should say. But let's participate a little because you've got, I guess, one collection of fans out there with a narrative about the Chiefs that I am a little surprised by, but we can discuss it. And it's, you know, Brett Veach and the job he's done there. This is what happens when you're great and you're 5-5. Max could tell you, the diehard Patriots fan, exactly how many times Tom Brady and the Patriots dynasty was dead. And I talk about this all the time. People forget that there were the gap between the dynasty for Brady was 10 years, right? Brady had 2001, 2003, and 2004. He didn't get his next one for a decade. He didn't get it until 2014.
He was there, though.
Right, but when we're talking about the there was a gap. He was there in 2011. It was 2011, the year they were unbeaten, I believe.
2007, Asante Samuel.
That was the 2007.
Samuel, who won't shut up, missed the easy interception. Didn't call holding, didn't call in the grass.
And then Eli got him again. But then it was
Wes Welker dropped an easy ball, would have ended the
10
game.
10 years. Max has taken us down a rabbit hole. I think Max lives as comfortably in a rabbit hole as anybody I know. But we're before we get into and continue the silly, probably, discussion about Brady versus, it's not silly because we have a good comparison through age 30. TJ, there is apparently a sect online of people who are dissatisfied and already overreacting to the Chiefs being 5-5.
I think that the biggest overarching thing that the social media machines are seeing from Chiefs fans is that they don't know who to blame, and everybody's got their own side. There's a blame Mahomes side of this. There's a blame Andy Reid side of this, and there's a blame Brett Veach side of this. And I think that majority of Chiefs fans are kind of flocking to the blame Veach. And so that's where all this discourse
is. The very obvious response to that is nobody needs to be blamed for anything. They've been to three straight Super Bowls. Like they're 5-5. They were missing one of their key players for a large portion of the season. And in their 5-5, they've had a couple of really dumb losses, Jacksonville and Denver. But I'm not sure why anybody needs to be blamed for anything. I would tell you that of those three in the most recent memory, of those three, the most responsible would be Mahomes. Mahomes had a really bad game against Denver. Okay, if they're 6-4 and they win the Denver game, are we even having this conversation? I don't think so. Probably. So that's it. It's an entitled thing. And look, I get it. It's not unique to Chiefs fans. This happens with every fan base that wins a ton. It happened with the Patriots fan base. They were ready to stick a fork in Tom Brady, I don't know, 6 different times. And then they ran him out of town to watch him go win a Super Bowl in Tampa. So this happens a lot. We had the who's more responsible for the wins, Brady or Belichick, that stupid conversation for a long time. And I say stupid, and I participate in them because they're fun for talk radio. But in reality, like they're kind of nonsense. But whatever, they're fun. So nobody needs to be blamed. There's a large camp with Veach, is what you were telling me yesterday, which that seems silly to me too. If you watch the documentary on ESPN, you know how connected Veach was to the Mahomes pick. He could do nothing else the rest of his career, and dunk on that decision. But I would argue he's had two of the better drafts we've seen any GM have in 22 and 23. And his work with contracts has been phenomenal to be able to maneuver some of the contracts he's been able to maneuver, to be able to make tough decisions on which players to let walk, even though they were really good and fan favorites, and still make it back to Super Bowls, is a skill not every general manager has at all. Trust me, I'm a Cowboys fan. Like, those are difficult things to do. And I think more than anything, he's handled his salary cap. I mean, just an unbelievably well. They have a lot of star players that they've been able to keep. Most teams don't get to do that, and they've been able to do it. Mahomes is a big part of that, right? And Kelsey, both playing for less than what they're worth. But you got to get them to do it.
It's more so, I think, the argument that they keep making is Veach versus John Dorsey about, like, how much did John Dorsey do for all of this compared to what has Veach done for all of this? Veach had a really good 2022 draft class. There really hasn't been any trades. I mean, I can't remember any except for, you know, trading Tyreek Hill and L'Jarius Sneed away.
The trade was good. The Frank Clark trade is debatable. I don't think that was a particularly good trade. But they won Super Bowls. You know, Frank Clark was a part of that. So you gotta give a little bit of a nod there. I think if we're looking at draft picks, Veach has made a lot of them. Veach has made a lot of really good drafts. He's just missed on a couple first round draft picks that kind of sully his reputation a little bit. But he went back to back in 21 and 22. I said 23. In 21, Nick Bolton was a second round pick. Creed Humphrey was a second round pick. Noah Gray was a fifth round pick. Trey Smith was a sixth round pick. Okay, in 22, they took McDuffie in the first. Sky Moore was a miss. Brian Cook, I wouldn't say Brian was a miss in the second round. George Karlaftis was in the first round. Leo Chenal was in the third round of that draft. Jalen Watson was in that draft. Isaiah Pacheco was in that draft. Like, he is killed. He killed drafts for 3 years. In 23, they landed Rashi Rice after they missed on Felix Anudike-Uzomah. They got Rashi Rice in that draft. They got Shamari Connor in that draft. Wanya Morris, I think, has value to this team as a third-round pick. So I don't think he's a bad drafter. I think he's drafted really well. I think he's missed on a couple first-round picks. But they have the luxury of swinging for home runs in the first round. And that's a part of it. I mean, you don't want to miss on those picks. But if you're going to take a shot and take a risk, I mean, Xavier Worthy might not be a good first-round pick. He also might be hurt right now. We'll see next year. But I think Veach has done a really nice job with the Chiefs.
Some of the Veach discourse that's been going on is people bringing up the fact that they traded up to go get Xavier Worthy, and they could have had Ladd McConkey. Would you rather have Ladd McConkey on your team right now?
Of course.
I mean, it's all hypotheticals. Nothing matters.
How many people were disappointed to get the fastest guy in combine history?
It's true.
In Xavier Worthy. The story is not written on Worthy. Worthy got much better in the second half of last year, and he's been playing through a dislocated shoulder this year. I see that I do see fantasy football discourse. And there's a lot of that. Well, Xavier Worthy's not that good. I'm like, guys, he's playing with a dislocated shoulder. Like, let's be.
I forgot about that injury, honestly, because the new ankle injury.
Yeah, he didn't miss time, basically, with a dislocated shoulder. So let's hang tight there on the and if you'd have listened to this show last year, you would maybe laugh at me saying that because I was pretty hard on Worthy because he was coming along slow. Now, by the end of the year, he was a weapon. He got really good. And so, trust me, I've been critical of Worthy too. But are we having that same conversation if Mahomes hits him on that deep ball?
Nope.
Against Broncos? Whose fault was that?
Mahomes.
Yeah. So, like, context, people. Watch it. Context. Don't be afraid to say, yeah, Mahomes had a really bad game against Denver. He missed a lot of throws. Rice had a bad game against Denver. He dropped a lot of passes. Is that Worthy's fault? No. Worthy should have had a deep ball.
Nope.
Like, but the overreactions, again, this comes with winning, and I get it. We have the same conversation about KU basketball, right? Like, when you're so great for so long, you forget what it's like for everybody else. Like, you got to have a chance for mistakes. Just because you don't ever make them for a while doesn't mean that you can't ever make them. Just because Bill Self put together an incredible class of All-Americans that didn't work together and he was stuck with it for a few years doesn't mean Bill Self's not still a great coach. Like, you got to take a step back and breathe here. We'll see what happens with the Chiefs this year, but nothing is wrong overwhelmingly with anything. They've had a few really dumb games. And I don't think Brett Veach or Andy Reid had anything to do with either one of them. That was the players not executing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, they're just in a funk right now. I think that you can honestly just tab a lot of it up to that. I think that they just haven't found what they're, you know, which sounds insane, but, like, I feel like they don't know what their identity is out there right now, even though this is a team that,
I
3 weeks ago,
I think their identity is a high octane passing offense. Yes, I think
they want to be, but they haven't been that.
Well, they were for a little while, and then they didn't take it on the road last week. Against Buffalo, the offensive line was in shambles, and Buffalo made their life hell. Like, that's, but last week, that's what they want to be. You can see it in his eyes. Mahomes is so pissed still about those missed deep balls. If they hit those two deep balls early, even one of them, they win that game, and we're having an entirely different conversation. Like, the fact that they just didn't make, like, their identity is very clear. They want to be a high octane passing offense, and they're going to be a high octane passing offense. They had the right game plan scripted up and ready to go against the Broncos. The plays were there 3 times and they missed on the play. They had the lead late and just needed to run some clock, and they missed the throw to Bashard Smith on the sideline. The identity, the game, like, it was all there and it was all fine. They made mistakes. They had too many penalties and they didn't make a couple of plays that they normally make. And here we are. That's the player's fault. The game plan was fine against the Broncos. There's nothing wrong. Andy Reid didn't do anything wrong in that game. The players didn't make the plays. Andy Reid didn't hold.
But at what point, though? I mean, I think that leads right into the next argument about, like, who's responsible whenever the passing game isn't working to line up under center. That's what the new argument is. Like, is that a coaching thing? Is that an Andy Reid thing?
No, it's Mahomes' thing. Watch that game. The Broncos game. Why did the passing offense not work?
I know, but if it doesn't work, like, do you change? Like, I think that's the coaching.
So you change, you go to a different quarterback?
No, you hand the ball off more, I mean.
Oh, no. No, because the game plan was right. The game plan was correct. They didn't make the plays. It wasn't a game plan issue. Now, you could say, Mahomes doesn't have it today. Let's hand it off more. Nobody on the planet's doing
not even saying hand the ball off more, like, quick game pass, like, something else other than, like, you know what I mean?
How many passes did they drop?
A lot.
That's
not a game. Like, what do you do about that?
Well,
like,
they had players execute better.
But they had 10 chances to win the game and they just kept throwing them. Like,
again, was that because they had the wrong play drawn up? or was that because the players didn't make the play that was there right in front of them?
I don't know. There might be both. I think that, both can be true. I think that the Chiefs went out. Chiefs went out there the final possession and went three and out and got back off the field.
I'm not trying to pile on, but I put so much more responsibility on the players for the Broncos loss. Like, they didn't make plays.
They're the ones that had 10 penalties in the game.
Yes. That wasn't a game plan issue. Last year, when the Chiefs, until the end of the year, let's call it early to early mid-season, when they were refusing to run the ball as Mahomes is getting annihilated, that was a game plan issue. They had to read that and say, we can't keep doing that. He's going to get killed. We got to hand the ball off. And they did over time last year. That was a game, you know, so that, and there's all that stuff's always going to happen. But I can't watch that Broncos game and say, oh man, I can't believe Andy Reid did that. No, that was the play. The game plan was there. The plays were there. The players didn't make the plays. Here it is. Next hour, we got picks to make. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Thank you to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. Big bourbon tasting last night. I'm sure that went well. We got holiday week coming up. They're doing Thanksgiving for our house. We're going to do a little Thanksgiving to go there. They've got all kinds of holiday party setups for you and great deals if you want to look into joining right now. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. We're coming right back with another hour. Don't go away. Right, welcome back in, everybody. It's another hour of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. Glad to be with you here on this Friday. Lots of fun coming up. We'll make some picks later in this hour. We've got high school football to talk about. By the way, high school football coverage on Sports Daily brought to you by Zintex Remodeling Group. Remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zintex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. We'll do those things. We're going to indulge Max a little bit here. I think Chiefs fans will appreciate it. I got a comment on something we were talking about there, TJ, on X. I'm seeing that just says, bro. That's all encompassing. Who knows what the bro was getting at there. Could be anything. Could be nothing. Could be anything. But why?
You want me to tell you the truth? I think that's an AI account.
Oh, okay. Well, why would it just say bro though? What is?
It must like the show.
The robots love Mahomes and can't.
They love John Dorsey discourse.
That's right. It's John Dorsey's AI program. Thanks for joining us on X. Thanks for joining us on YouTube. You can always comment those ways. We'll get you on to the show. That way we can take those. We can take your calls. Max has that at 869-1240, although it'll hang up on you if you have any 1980s Boston Celtics slander. But you can bring those to the show as well. It's all what's on tap coming for you here in this hour, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. And it is a good place to gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family, your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here. East near Central and Woodlawn. West at 13th and Tyler and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. Hope everybody's getting ready for a happy Thanksgiving, by the way, next week. However you're taking it in next week, I hope it's a great time. You a turkey guy, TJ?
Turkey is way better than ham.
In certain circumstances, I would agree with that. On a sandwich, absolutely.
As a general rule,
I'm not sure I completely agree. I happen to really enjoy both. Crestview's doing a ham for us this year to go. We chose that instead of turkey. It'll be the first time we're doing that. Because it's kind of a, you know, you got to get it and you got to reheat it and you got to do all that. I love turkey. Have you had fried turkey?
Mm-hmm.
Fried turkey is king. We'll beat all of them. But that's a whole thing. Like the thing about a turkey is it's always a whole thing. Like there's no easy or like the turkey is a big production.
I agree.
Ham.
I agree. I'm team turkey coming from a guy who's never cooked the turkey. So right. That may change my tune.
I like both. I like, you know, if we're being real, I'd like to have both at Thanksgiving, ham and turkey. Mashed potatoes are my favorite part of Thanksgiving. Good mashed potatoes, brown gravy. As long as I get ham or turkey, mashed potatoes, and pumpkin pie, I'm usually pretty satisfied with Thanksgiving.
We're doing a Friendsgiving this weekend. I'm making a mean green bean casserole.
Don't like your veggies? Green bean casserole. We kind of have a deviled egg contest in our family, usually on the holidays. And I haven't been as far as like a meal, holiday meal, since we've opened the stores, because they're very busy at Thanksgiving and they're very busy at Christmas. I haven't done like the bigger family meal in 5-6 years, but there's typically a deviled egg contest and a Bloody Mary contest. So, and I say,
let's go to the bigger conversation here. Are you Thanksgiving lunch people?
Yes. Yeah,
we are too. That's the best.
It is. Cause then you just watch football and you get leftovers. You don't
take a nap. It's the best.
Yeah. I don't, I usually work TV at Thanksgiving too. So I don't get that either. My Thanksgiving traditions have really shifted in the last, really since we moved here, because even before, like when I was full-time TV and all that, like I was working. There's a lot of work typically on Thanksgiving. And so it's fine. Like it doesn't bother. I love football on Thanksgiving. I just love the whole idea thing. My family started doing prime rib once I left. And I'm
we're very big prime rib on Christmas, people.
Rib. Well, now they do it all the time. They're like, well, this is just way better. Let's just always do prime rib. And I'm like, that's good prime rib. Yes. Thanks.
Horseradish. Oh. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. We're talking about horseradish on prime rib.
You want to talk about production. That prime rib, if you do it the right way, is also a production. But happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We won't see you next week on Thanksgiving, but we'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We won't be here Thursday or Friday. All right, we're going to indulge Max. We're in a thankful mood. We're thankful for Max and his lunacy sometimes with the Patriots blinders. But Max is of the belief that Mahomes doesn't belong in the same conversation as not only Brady, but now he's saying Manning, which is absurd. But I'll take you to, and this is what is so wild about, and I say this to people all the time, even before Mahomes started threatening, was the craziest thing about Brady's era is how it was separated by basically a decade between those Super Bowl wins. And there were like these two runs, and that's what it's going to take probably for Mahomes to ultimately end up. Now, Mahomes is not there as far as legacy and all that, because he's still three Super Bowls short, and it's going to start and end there for Mahomes. But here are four some of the Super things Bowl through short. Through age 30. Did Brady get 7? Am I one off there?
Yes, he got one in Tampa.
Yeah, that's right. So 7, so he's 4 off. But here's what they've done, Max, through age 30. So by their age 30 season, Mahomes has 89 wins, Brady had 70. Now Mahomes has played more games through age 30, to be fair. But this won't surprise anybody. He's got more yards and those things, but we know the league has changed since, you know, early Brady, not late Brady, early Brady wasn't quite the pass happy NFL. So some of this, I don't even think are the important things, but he's got more wins, more passing yards, more touchdowns, fewer interceptions, by the way, despite playing 20 more games, he's got fewer interceptions despite playing 20 more games. He is obviously a much better runner of the football, but through age 30, Mahomes has played in 5 Super Bowls. Brady played in 3. Mahomes has won 3 Super Bowls. Brady won 3. Mahomes has 3 Super Bowl MVPs. Brady had 2. I think that's a little overrated. NFL MVPs, not quite as much. Mahomes has had 2. Brady didn't have any at this point. Brady wasn't even a first team all pro yet. Mahomes has 2, and their postseason record's pretty similar, 12-2 for Brady, 17-4 for Mahomes. So while Mahomes is not there yet, Mahomes is ahead of the pace. Ugh. The difficulty what Brady was able to do, he won the 7th in Tampa, right? As Max just pointed out, that's insane to think about. But it's that it was different generations of the Patriots. Mahomes hasn't had to have really a big time different, other than Tyreek Hill. Right, overwhelmingly.
Yeah, I mean,
Mahomes had his same crew for the most part all the way through this first part. So, what happens when Chris Jones and Travis Kelce retire? What happens if Andy Reid retires? Right, yeah. Then what does it look like for Mahomes? And it's going to take a minute to get to that point. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Right, like we haven't gotten to that point yet. But it's going to happen. It's going to have to happen if he wants to challenge what Brady's done. There'll have to be another generation of Mahomes. Brady also, I will say, aged like fine wine. Brady got better as he got older, right? Is that fair? Does everybody agree with that? Like, Brady became a better quarterback as he got older. I don't know that that's going to happen for Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's going to take away the, you know, the running aspect that he's now kind of developed as well. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's a better runner now than he ever has been. But
exactly.
It's just hard to imagine him like physically getting better than he's been because he's been so great.
Yeah.
Like Brady didn't become this massive stat compiler until later in his career. Mahomes has compiled stat. I don't think he's going to get better at that. Can he maintain it? Maybe. Well, the rest of this season is going to probably, you know, impact what people think about that, because I thought this was going to be the year where he led the league in all the stats, and he still could. There's still plenty of time.
Yeah.
But you see games like the Broncos and you're just like, oh, there was so much left on the bone on that.
Yeah, I agree. Let me be clear here. I don't want to bring up a Brady Mahomes argument on November 21st, 2025 for no reason. The reason I'm saying that brought it up at all is because you know that if the Chiefs miss the playoffs, it's going to be...
We're in that. No, you bring it up for the right reason. We're in that mode right now.
My point here is that it brings the argument of LeBron Jordan whenever it's like LeBron lost in the finals four different times. But is a finals loss better than not making the finals? And now we're going to start getting that argument about
of course it is. It just matters how many you win when we're talking about that conversation. Jason chimes in, says ham is far superior to turkey, no matter the occasion. Give me that mashed potatoes, white gravy. Ooh, Jason, I'm not here to I'm not here to slander turkey. Ham's also really good, but we're going brown gravy. Thanksgiving.
Are you putting your ham in your white gravy? That just sounds like a monstrosity at that point.
Well, now listen, my Thanksgiving plate, it's all coming together.
I know, brown gravy, you can do that. Brown gravy.
White gravy's okay.
A good mashed potato. I'm probably team white gravy on that, but Thanksgiving, it's definitely brown gravy.
I'm brown gravy across the board, except for biscuits and gravy. That would be the only time that I'm white gravy. All right, we're coming right back. Let's make some picks when we return on Sports Daily.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in here, everybody. We've got picks to get to. Before we do that, I want to tell you about the Odyssey Holiday Hookup now through Friday, November 21st. That's today, but at 11:30. So you got a minute to enter this. We're taking care of the food and fun this Thanksgiving, a full holiday feast and Thunder tickets for the whole family. Smoked turkey, ham. You don't have to choose here, is what we were just talking about. All sides from Hog Wild Pit Barbecue, more than $200 in value, and 10 tickets to the Wichita Thunder Star Wars night on November 29th. Just enter the keyword thanks to the number 20357. That's a text. Text thanks to 20357. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Before we get into the picks, Brandon is out. So we will just be the four of us here. We're talking Thanksgiving. We're talking Thanksgiving food. This one's just for you, Tommy. Jason says that me saying that it's fine to just mix all the food together on Thanksgiving, give Tommy nightmares for weeks. He is Team Jacob on that one.
Man, we're still having this.
We were just talking ham versus turkey. Gotcha. And then it kind of evolved into brown gravy versus white gravy. And then Jackson Schneider, friend and host of the program, was just, texting us that, it's devolving into that. But yeah, like I said on my plate, I would find some room for some kind of salad. TJ had an aneurysm about wasting space on the plate. And I'm like, you're not wasting space. You just put it all on the same plate. There's no space wasted. You just pile it up.
No, I'm a huge fan of the segmented plates where I can put different things in different areas. It's like a lunch tray. Like I'm a fan of that.
I've got some little Paw Patrol plates for the kids. I'll bring you one for Thanksgiving and you can make sure that none of your food touches.
That sounds great.
I'm not making two trips. I'm putting it all on there. I'll bet money right now that Team Savage over there is just a pile it on kind of guy. Just put it all on there.
I'll tell you what, and all the foods that you just mentioned are fine with me, big boy. I kind of like them all, as you could probably tell. But why not? Why not? Listen, if I don't get enough, though, the first trip, I go back the second trip. I pile and still go back. What do you think of that?
How are you going to know if balsamic vinaigrette is good on mashed potatoes unless you just put it all on there? You never know otherwise.
Well, it's not.
How would you know that gravy and pumpkin pie are delightful if you didn't just have it all in one space?
I'm turning to Tommy here as we keep going about this.
How do we know that dogs and cats don't get married? Well, we just know they don't get married, okay?
That's how we know that.
I'm just saying, you got to try it first.
Max, play the music. We got to talk about football.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, TJ, take us through last week's results here before we get into this. Not a great week for yours truly here.
Yeah, Jacob did great. Jacob did great. He went 1-5. The only one he got right was Oklahoma State plus 19.5. 1-5 for Jacob. Paul with a 2-4 week. Tommy with a 3-3 week. And TJ and Brandon both go 5-1 on the week. And so a little bit of shakeup here. Jacob still in the lead, but holding on to his butt cheeks. He's 40-37 on the year. Now in second place, TJ Cleland at 37-40. And Brandon at 35-42, or excuse me, then Paul at 36-41, then Brandon and Tommy at 35-42. So Jacob with a 3-game lead over TJ at this point, and so Pans will be locked in for the final stretch again.
It's annoying because if you're going to go 1-5, you might as well just go 0-6. But we didn't do it. All right, so that means TJ, you can start us off here. Brandon's going to take in our first game, Kansas. Covering the 5.5 at Iowa State. Where do you go?
I'm going to take KU as well. They've done historically pretty well against Iowa State in the past couple of years. I think they can go on the road in a spot where they're going to need to get one. They really haven't proved it to us much over their last few games that they can go do that, but I think they can go out there. I think they can win the game. I'm going to, you know, pull for them to win the game, but if nothing else, I think they can make it a close game.
Tommy?
Yeah, I've got a really hard time with this one. You know, Kansas is desperately battling to become bowl eligible. And next week at home against Utah is going to be a major challenge. I mean, Utah's a top 20 team in the country, even better than that. So it's going to be a challenge next week for the Jayhawks, even at home on Black Friday. So they've really got to get it done against Iowa State on the road. And Iowa State, I know, had high hopes going into the season. It hasn't been as good of a year for them thus far, I think, as they expected. So I do think that the Jayhawks, knowing what's on the line, I don't know if they'll win the game, but I kind of agree with TJ and Brandon. I think they'll keep it close. I'll take the Jayhawks.
Paul, what do you think on this?
Well, just the opposite to you guys. You guys are going that way. But listen, what makes you think that they won't disappoint you? Because let's face it, KU at times this year has disappointed every one of us. All of us have been disappointed with KU here and there. I don't think listen, I think Iowa State is a better team overall. I'm going to take Iowa State. It's a home game for Iowa State. Iowa State has to give 5.5. I wish it was 3.5 or something like that. But I'm going to take Iowa State. I might even just be on an island. I'm betting I just might be on an island.
Yeah, I'll give you the island. Okay. I think it's a Jalen Daniels legacy game, to be quite honest. Like, they got to get the win. They can't go 0-3 in chances to get to a bowl game. Iowa State's a tough place to go, but I don't think that matters for KU. Like, they're in all of these games. They can at least cover, because you got to envision them being there at the end. I really hope they get this win. I'll take Kansas. All right.
Hey, according to Jacob, Jalen Daniels has been due for a legacy game for the last month and a half.
He has been.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Been due, but he's been playing pretty well this year. He needs to rubber stamp this swan song.
Maybe the last year and a half he's been looking.
Utah's 17.5 point favorite. Brandon's taking Utah. Tommy, Utah's a 17.5 point favorite here. Are you comfortable laying that?
I mean, you would think that the Wildcats could cover 17.5, even though it's against a team like Utah, even though it's on the road at Utah. You would think that the Wildcats would be able to do that. But then, of course, we saw what Kansas State did against Oklahoma State last week, and that was so unimpressive. Even though the Wildcats did get the win, Oklahoma State is historically bad, and the Wildcats looked pretty awful too, even though they got the win. Now, this one's difficult as well, but I mean, man, like, I feel like the Wildcats should be able to cover 17.5, right? I don't know. I'm up in the air about this. I'm going to take the Wildcats.
Paul.
Well, I'm just the opposite of Tommy. I have no confidence in the Cats. You're right. If you watched any part of that Oklahoma State K-State game, you could see that Oklahoma State is horrible. They have very little talent. They can't run. There's a lot of things on that team that they can't do. And yet that game was competitive for a good portion of that game. I'm going to take Utah. That's a good football team, fellas, and playing in Utah is just not your typical Big 12, you know, location. That's a tough place to play. I'm going to take Utah as well. I thought I was going to have an island on this one. I really did.
The ghosts of last year's game in Utah, albeit against BYU, loom a little bit here. Fellas, K-State's only played 2 times this year outside of 17.5 points either direction. I think they typically will play. The only 2 times was the win against Kansas and the loss against Texas Tech. I'm going to take the Cats to be within that number. I don't think they're going to go win that game, but I think they can keep it within 17.5. TJ?
I think that since Utah has joined the conference and BYU has joined the conference, K-State hasn't won a single sporting event in the state of Utah. And in basketball and football, I think it's looked ugly every single time that they've gone out there and played. Chris Klieman, after their win in Stillwater when I was down there, he said, you know what? I'm not going to apologize for a win because Stillwater's a tough place to go get a win. Even though every other team in the Big 12 has done that for the last 2 years. Salt Lake City is a tough place to go get a win. They're not winning that game. I said that K-State couldn't cover their 19.5 against Oklahoma State because they don't score enough points to get to that number. They don't score enough points to not lose. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. Utah minus 17.5.
All right, we'll take it. Utah there for TJ. All right, let's go on to the last college game we have. We can quickly move through this one. Paul, you're up first. OU, 6.5-point favorite at home against Mizzou.
Well, did you watch OU last week on TV? They're a pretty good football team. I've seen them the last 2 or 3 weeks. That's a really good football team. I'll tell you what, I'm torn on this a little bit, but I like OU. Now, Missouri, they're getting good. I appreciate what's going on there. I'm going to take OU at home. Tough place to play, fellas, OU. And that's going to be one of those games that I've got to make sure I'm sitting in front of a TV. That's the one game of the week I think I want to watch.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of good ones this week. This one of them. This line is real, real, real stinky and smelly and fishy to me because Oklahoma's coming off that win. But I'm going to take the bait. I'll bite. I'll take OU at home as well and lay the 6.5. TJ.
I am with you. I will take OU and give Tommy the chance at the island here. It's very nice of you to include a Big 12 game here as well. Yeah,
Brandon took Oklahoma, so this is an island opportunity.
It is. Okay, I was wondering about Brandon. There we go.
Tommy.
Well, I had written down Oklahoma because I actually do like that hook for the Sooners. But if you're going to give me an island, I got to get back into this thing. And I do think that there's a possibility that Mizzou can cover this and actually maybe even win on the road. So if you're going to give me the island and I need to get back into this race, I'll go ahead and take Mizzou and I'll take those points on the road.
Don't blame me.
Yeah, it's a good island.
Don't blame
me. All right, Colts, Chiefs. Chiefs don't normally get the 12 o'clock window, but they get it. So we'll pick it first here this week. Brandon is taking the Colts. That puts me first on this one, I believe. Look, guys, I'm going to take the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been a juggernaut at home, and they haven't been very good on the road. This one happens to be at home. They are, if nothing else, a pretty good run defense, and they'll need to be that against the Colts. But I think it's more about can they attack that Colts secondary. We'll see how much of an impact Sauce Gardner makes, but that is the Colts' Achilles heel. It's kind of strength on strength. Chiefs are good against the run. Colts are bad against the pass. Chiefs are at home. I'll lay the 3.5. I'll take Kansas City. Tommy?
You know, they've really, really, really got to figure out the penalty issue. I mean, that's such a major Achilles heel right now for Kansas City. They've got to figure out a way to clean up and be more disciplined in what they're doing. And, you know, it's going to be a little bit easier for them to try to do that at home. And, you know, so I do think that there is that good possibility for them. I'm trying to will this into victory. I'm trying to convince myself that there's a reason for the Chiefs to win by more than 3.5 points. And I don't even know. Do we know what the status is of Daniel Jones? I know he was a little bit banged up this week.
I think
so
he's fine.
Yeah. Who knows at that? You know, at that rate, I'm just going to go ahead and lay the 3.5, and I'll take Kansas City.
All right, TJ.
I am changing my tune during my pick segment. We talk about the Chiefs, as we've talked about throughout the show today, all day long. I'm no longer going to be in the camp of it's the Chiefs. They'll figure it out. They haven't proven to me that they will figure it out. So for that reason, I'm taking the Colts in this game.
The Colts look really good, Paul. They're good at everything offensively. Can the Chiefs contain them and get a win by more than 3.5?
The Chiefs, you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me a half a dozen times, shame on the Chiefs. I'm tired of taking the Chiefs. I'm disappointed in the Chiefs. I've had it with the Chiefs. I'm taking the Colts.
Okay, I thought that was going to be a classic, Paul.
I'm not so fast, my friend.
There you go.
All right, let's go. I keep put. This is it. Zenner, if you can't show up, we're going to stop picking Vikings games. I put these in here just for Brandon. He's going to take the Vikings in this one, but we've got the Packers as 6.5-point home favorites. Tommy, you can start us off here. Green Bay has been shaky. It's your Super Bowl pick. Can they cover this line against the Vikings?
Yeah, because, you know, the quarterback on the other side is J.J. McCarthy, who is awful, absolutely awful. And maybe he'll get better as time goes on. But, man, he's bad right now. He is not a good quarterback. So I do think that that the Packers should be able to cover that number at home. I like the hook. I think it'll be a touchdown type game in Lambeau. Honestly, you know, I would almost be a little bit more confident if Malik Willis was the quarterback compared to Jordan Love, because I thought Willis looked pretty good last week in relief of Love. But regardless, I'm going to take the Packers and I'll lay those points.
Paul?
No confidence in the Vikings this week. For all the reasons that Tommy just mentioned, there's some problems with them. And I'm just going to take the Packers. It's a home game. Give them the advantage at Lambeau. That's a really cool place. If you've never been there, make sure you just go to a game one of these days. But I'm going to take the Packers. No confidence in the Vikings.
Yeah, I'll see you at Lambeau in September. You ain't getting me there this time of year.
Ah.
TJ.
I want to pick the Packers, but at this point I've picked the same pick as Brandon so far, so I think I just need to keep the trend going. I'll take the Vikings, I guess.
I'll take the Vikings. I don't think J.J. McCarthy's been quite as bad as Tommy. I think his receivers have let him down. Justin Jefferson has dropped a head-scratching amount of passes for him. He hasn't been great, but I think he's been okay for a guy who's got five or six starts. The Packers' defense is really good, though. I think the Vikings have a lot of weapons, and they're being slept on just a little bit here. I think they can keep it close in that game. I'll take the 6.5 points. I don't know if I think they can win, but I'll take the 6.5 points. All right. Eagles at Cowboys. Cowboys are 3-point home underdogs. Paul, what do you like there? Brandon is taking the Cowboys.
Cowboys for Brandon. Well, very good for him. I would love to take the Cowboys. Cowboys, one of my top three teams, along with Denver and along with Kansas City. But listen, the Eagles have been really good for me. So whatever, you know, you just got to look and say, you know, I've done well with the Eagles. They've kind of been my team. I always pick them, and they seem to come through most of the time. I'm taking the Eagles just based upon the fact you guys have been very, very good to me.
Gross. TJ?
I hate that I just said I was going to tail Brandon, because I ain't doing it this time. I'm not picking the Cowboys. I'm picking the Eagles to go on the road and cover that 3 number.
Tommy?
I can't wait to watch the reality show documentary about this season for the Eagles. It's been so dramatic. And, you know, A.J. Brown is being criticized left and right. Jalen Hurts, apparently there's questions inside the locker room about the way that he's playing. Of course, we know about Nick Sirianni. It is dysfunctional in Philadelphia. A lot of drama there. They're winning games, but it's pretty dramatic. And I was impressed by the Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Of course, I know they were playing the Raiders, but I was impressed by them. I was impressed by Dak Prescott. If you're going to give me points for the Cowboys at home, I'm going to go ahead and take Dallas. I'll take those points.
Yeah, I thought more people would be on the Eagles. Eagles are 8-2, but it's as, you know, defense wins championships, and the Eagles are really good at that. But can they keep up? If Dallas can score, can the Eagles keep up? Dallas has had a like absurdly bad defense, but those two trades had an impact. And if you're telling me the best pair of defensive tackles can contain Saquon Barkley, and you're going to make Jalen Hurts keep up with Dak Prescott in that offense, I'm going to take the Cowboys and I'm going to take the 3 points. And I hope they beat them by 30. But it's interesting. Everybody gave Jerry Jones a hard time about those trades, and now it's like, man, that probably was a pretty good trade there to get Quinnen Williams in there and a linebacker that can actually tackle somebody. They're also getting healthier on defense than they were, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. So there's your picks. That's everybody.
We got two islands. Paul's got an Iowa State island. Tommy's got a Mizzou island. The TJ and Jacob race that everybody is intently following. We've got 3 picks that are different. So if I go perfect, we got a tie at the top.
I can't believe that Iowa State turned into an island. Of all the picks we just made, that one surprises me.
I'm stunned. Grateful, but stunned.
We're trying to get you to keep coming back, Paul.
We're just trying to get KU to a bowl game. Let's all be honest here. We're just like, please, come on, just make it to a bowl game. Like, I'm not ready. I don't have the energy for that if they miss a bowl game. So just get to the bowl game and we can all move on with our lives. It is a Catch at Kansas Friday, which means we're going to talk a little high school football here. We got TJ and Paul in. They are covering this thing furiously, and we are 2 wins away. The state semifinals in the state of Kansas. It's the sub-state round. And here we go, fellas. We've got representatives in all the brackets here. And TJ, we can kind of start at the top. Derby, boy, you want to talk about hitting your stride at the right time. That was quite the win against Northwest last week to get here.
Yeah, it's
and
the,
here we go.
It's the 6A game that we'd all been begging for you know, years to see those two play, because they'd been the best teams in 6A basically year in and year out since I've been here basically. And so finally got to see that, and man, the 6-seed Derby Panthers. It's been such a weird year for them. They had three losses in the regular season, which, you know, hasn't happened in over a decade, I believe. They were injured. They were kind of beat up. They lost their star running back, Arius Finley, who's one of the best ones in the city. Some Division I traction getting going for him. You know, kind of the Dylan Edwards light for Derby, if you've ever watched him play. They made a quarterback change in week five. They put in Blade Clark, the next Clark brother of Coach Brandon Clark's son, took over in week five, and he's been great for them. And they've just got a new identity. And in the playoffs, it's showing that I think that there's a little bit of it of like, hey, we're Derby High School. Like, we're supposed to be winning these games. I think that's showing up. And lo and behold, doesn't matter if they're the 4 and the 6 seed or the 1 and the 2 seed, it's Derby Manhattan again.
Same old, same old. Paul, have you've seen and followed this in Kansas for a long time. I mean, is Derby on one of those historic, especially for the big schools,
right,
runs now for just what seems like forever?
Well, the thing that I have to look at Derby and take my hat off to the fact is that in high school, sometimes it's very, very difficult to turn things around. And let's face it, things needed to be turned around at a certain point in the high school season for Derby this year. A loss to Carroll, I think that loss to Carroll really surprised most people. It surprised me. I've got a feeling it surprised you too as well. And when you're at that point and you should be winning a game like against particularly a Carroll, for instance, who's been down for the number of years, of course, we had talked about Carroll's not bad. They've changed things themselves and turned things around. But that was a part of the season where, boy, it is so hard at the high school level to have a football program turn itself around, make changes, do what you got to do to get back and start winning again. And I'll tell you what, that says something about the kids at Derby, that they can do something like that. My hat is off to them, because I can't give them enough compliments based upon the fact of what they did from where they were at a point in this season. And switching around at the high school level is wonderful. It's amazing. And now, can they win the semifinals and get to the finals? It's going to be a tough game. Come on, guys. We both know that. I can't go out on the limb and say, well, Derby's going to win this game, because I don't know that they can. And I'm sure they'll give it a great effort. They'll be ready. But, man, oh, man, my hat is off to Derby. That's the team that if I had to tip the hat to, it would be it. But I'd also be tipping it not quite so much to Capen, because good for them. Boy, I'll tell you what, they have really come around. But I know we'll get to Capen in a minute. But Derby, I like their chances. The way they're playing right now, I like how they're doing it. Derby may just pull this game off.
It'd be quite the story. TJ, 5A, one of the things, we will get to Capen in a minute. 5A, one of the good things is we get, you know, area teams, and it's chalk right now in 5A West. This is the one that you got, you know, you pencil in when you draw up the brackets.
Yeah, it's weird though. It's chalk, but it's not, because it's class 5A. Since I've been here, and I know historically, it's in the last, you know, decade probably, 5A is the fun class, because that's like the Wichita Metros versus the Kansas City Metros, not quite the, you know, the big ones that are in the cities and everything like that. But this is where you get a lot of the, we've seen, you know, Mays when they were in 5A, and Capen go in this one, and Wichita Northwest back when they were still 5A school.
Carroll dominated this for a while.
That's what 5A typically is. This year, it's chalk. It's the 1 versus 2, but man, it's Salina versus Great Bend. Like, how cool is it to have a team in Saline County and Barton County fighting for a chance to go to a state championship game in one of the largest classifications? And man, they're good football teams.
I don't remember that either, TJ, to what you're talking about. Outside the metro, getting the, you know, the larger rural schools involved in a 5A substate, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And if I was to say to you guys at this point, what's the one team in Kansas that if you were a high school team and you had to play, what's the one team you don't want to play? And I'd say it's Great Bend. That's what I'd say. I think I'd be pretty safe in saying
Great Bend is a junior college out there.
You know, that's just practically it's you see them on film, and I only saw them once on film. And you look at them, you know, they look like a small college football team, guys. I mean they're pretty impressive. And anyway, this is a team that I think if you had to pencil one division, one championship game right now, you got four teams left in all the divisions, then you said, what's the one team you're the most confident in? I'd have to say it would be Great Bend. And I'd even say maybe Great Bend over Andale in that question. That's how sure I am Great Bend's going to win the state championship this year.
Yeah. That's pretty bold. That's pretty bold. TJ down in 4A, Paul mentioned it, but Capen has been a wagon this year.
They have beaten teams. Here's your stat for the day. Throughout this playoff run, they've won three games. They've won those games 62-0, 63-0, 64-0, which is a cool coincidence. But Capen is a team that is a wagon, as you said. And, you know, Paul kind of knew better than I because he's closer in the city league and everything like that. But, like, Capen was going to be good. Like, I didn't know that Capen was going to be this version of Capen. Like, last year, they were a different team last year. You know, they had Amari Elias. They were awesome. They lose Amari Elias last year. And I think that there was kind of some questions about what Capen was going to be. They fell to Wellington in the playoffs. And in their first year of 4A, didn't make the run that they're, you know, accustomed to making. Now, I mean, they've got Ken Huff, their running back. Cal Purvis, their running back. They can run the rock like anybody else in the entire state of Kansas, Paul. And you saw it.
Yeah, that's right. Not only that, if I was to say what are they going to run? Well, you and I and Jacob, yeah. We all know what they're going to run. They're going to run POT. They're going to run an ISO. They're going to run trap.
Yeah.
They'll run the heck out of trap. That's what
I think that Weston Schartz could sit on the sideline and look at the quarterback and say power that way.
Yeah,
power
just
that
holler,
way.
Yeah, just holler it out. You don't even have to disguise it. Just yell it out there. Tell them what you want them to run, and dare anybody to stop them. They're that good this year. So hats off to them. I sure like their chances of scooting through all this stuff. I won't be surprised if Capen brings home a state championship to the City League.
All right, TJ, we go down to the smaller ranks. We all know about Andale down there in 3A. We'll see if anybody can do it. Against, was it Rock Creek they're playing
Rock
this
Creek,
year?
Yep, Rock Creek's one of the best 3A teams up in the Northeast region. They're right outside Manhattan.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick before we get off Andale? It sounds like we're going to get off. Here's my question to you guys. Could Andale win the state championship in higher levels?
I talk about this a lot, and I've talked about it a lot this year. So I'll throw this out here.
Can Andale beat Capen?
So that's the question. This is my rankings, and people can come at me for this, but I've talked about this off the air quite a bit this year. This year, I think that there's only in our coverage area, Emporia to Goodland, there's only four teams that I think could beat Capen. And I think that that's Great Bend, or sorry, Andale, not Capen. Great Bend, Derby, Capen, and I forgot what the Mays was my other one. I don't know if they could have beaten Mays. Mays was really good. But like Andale might be the fourth or fifth best team.
You think Andale beats Northwest if they play?
I mean, I think that that's a game, honestly. And I know that that sounds insane, but I think that that would be quite the game. It's just such different styles. I think that'd be an awesome game.
It would be tough. Andale, we do this because Andale's been so great. And we've had this exercise forever, but I do think it would take Andale being something a little different than what they've built, which isn't fair because they've built to win at the level that they play, which is to be physically dominant over everybody. But if you take away the physical dominance, which they wouldn't have at the higher levels, then it gets a little trickier. I don't know the answer to that question, to be
perfectly honest. Andale could probably – it's so weird because Capen's a 4A this year. Capen's not going to be in 4A next year. I don't know if Andale could beat Capen. That'd be a really, really good football game. But it'd be one of the two that's probably going
Andale's
to
Andale's coming 4A. Up to 4A, you said, next year?
No, Capen is going back to 5A.
Oh, okay.
Andale's still in 3A. Yeah, people are waiting.
This isn't unique to Kansas. This isn't unique to Andale. We do this all the time, and we did this in Texas when there were wagons like this at the lower levels. But it's so impressive. It's what has made Derby so impressive, in my opinion. Like you have to build it a certain way, and right now they've built it a certain way to win at the level that they're at. I'm sure if Andale was playing at a higher level, they would become a more modern pass the ball kind of offense. No, but that's not what they need to do.
No,
I don't think they would.
No, that's a way of life with it. We're talking pad level.
I understand, but do you think they're coming into a game against Northwest and just running it all over them?
I think they eat them up. That's what I think.
100%. It's a fun. I wish we could get it. It would be so fun.
This is my hypothetical, but I talked, and Northwest is the perfect example for this.
Northwest is the perfect example.
As Paul knows, Northwest is filled with Division I talent, and they throw the football all over the field. They have an awesome running back. Augie Fast is great. That'd be a tough one for Andale to stop. But like, Andale's going to try to throw it all over the place. Northwest is going to throw it all over the place. Yeah. Andale is going to be in on the quarterback. They're going to blitz all over the field. Like, they draw things up. Like, it's not the fact. And if you've ever watched them play, like if you saw the Andale football team walk into a stadium, you're like, what's the big deal? Like, these guys are all, you know, normal sized high school kids. Like, there's nothing crazy about that. It's because
they're way more athletic. It's the reason they're also awesome at track and field.
I mean, they're all athletes, but they're like, in history, like they've put one Division I football player out, and it was Mason Fairchild, who was 6'4". But like, they're good at, like, Dylan Schmidt is great about, like, throwing blitzes at you, throwing random turnaround Statue of Liberty handoff. Like, nobody knows what a ball is.
I wish we could get it. I do. It'd be so fun. It would be so much fun. And it wouldn't be fair to the kids. But just from a fan's perspective, that's literally what people talk about. That we're not that, you know how many people have asked me in the last 10 years, what if Andale played Capen? What if Andale played
the thing that people bring up
a question in the high school world as we get, and it's because they've been so flipping good.
They play their JV games in the freshman game. Like, they've played Derby's JV team, and they're must watch JV games. Like, that's how crazy this is. But if they win this one against Rock Creek, they'll have a tough one in the championship for them. And Topeka Hayden, everybody in up there talks about them. And I laugh because it's always the exercise about, like, man, Topeka Hayden might get it done this year. And I'm like, yeah, you haven't watched Andale play, man. Like,
yeah, no, I promise. I don't have that faith in them. That's what made that Cheney deal a couple
that's
years
so
ago.
Crazy. I know.
So,
and it's
so wild and fun and silly. Good luck to all our teams advancing here to Substate. We're all definitely Team West Bracket from here on out.
Yep.
But we'll see how many champions we can crown. I think it'll be a bunch. This looks like a good year to crown champions.
Big one in 2A tonight as well. Our other game of the week, we have two game of the weeks. Hoisington and Southeast of Saline, the last two teams from our coverage area to go to the state championship, squaring off tonight. So we'll have lots of live coverage for you tonight on the Catch a Campus Show.
Yeah, that coverage begins all day long. And the newscast on 12 News takes you right into the Catch a Kansas Show tonight on the KSCW. You've got the High School Football Scoreboard Show here on KFH tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. It's also, I think it might get covered up tonight by K-State Basketball. So just make sure you're tuning in tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. here on KFH for the High School Scoreboard Show. All right, that does it for us here on a Friday. A lot of fun. Thanks to Paul. Thanks to Tommy. Brandon by proxy for being a part of the picks. Thanks to Max for producing things for us all week long. You've got K-State basketball taking on Nebraska tonight. That Hall of Fame Classic continues. Coverage will tip off at 7:30 right here on KFH. And then Sunday, of course, Chiefs and Colts. You'll hear it on KNSS. Busy weekend on the dials here at the Odyssey Family and Networks. We appreciate everybody being here. TJ, enjoy the high school football tonight. We'll see you on the Catch.
I will. This is the good time of the year. I'm getting amped up to watch high school football at this point. That's how you know there's good football going on.
If you're celebrating Thanksgiving early, have some ham and turkey for us. We'll see everybody Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.